Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Help Alive. Today we're going to be talking with Dimitri. He's been a mentor to me for many years, and we're going to talk also about the value of helping people. As we know, the first grader can help the kindergartner. So we're going to explore today, and in the Bible it does say that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So there's a lot of support in the Bible for helping, and also, as we've said in other episodes, it's also one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, helping. And so we want today to look at some of the ways we can help people. We can help people certainly by talking to them and physical help. There's many ways we can help, and it's pleasing to God. And our co-host is not on the line yet, so hopefully he'll be able to call in and we'll have him also talk with us. But I'm just going to talk about my favorite teaching, and that is that God's a multiplier. So when there is any sort of subtraction through no fault of our own, when God pays us back, it's going to be double, triple, quadruple. And such good news. Our co-host is on the line, and here he is. Hello, Dimitri?
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Hi, good timing. So we were just talking about helping and how Jesus came to serve and not to be served, and that sets an example for us to help. And I know you've helped me, you've been a mentor to me. And before we talk about some of the helping, would you like to give a quick testimony as to how you came to the Lord?
Sure, thank you for that kind introduction. I was saved at 17. I was, just briefly, I was in love with a girl in Las Vegas, Nevada, and she broke up with me, and it broke my heart. My mother said to pray to God to comfort you. This was around near Christmas Eve, 1979, and I asked God to help me and comfort me, and he did, and I was born again at that time, and as a young Christian, I would read the Bible. I read the whole Bible through, and God was very close to me during those very sorrowful times. So that's when I was born again, in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1979.
Yeah, and just as God comforted you, as you said, he comforted you at that difficult time. One of our scriptures today is from 2 Corinthians, which you're probably familiar with, and it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." So that's what you're saying, and now you have used that comfort that you received, and you're giving it to others. So
I just read that scripture this very morning.
Wonderful. Praise to God for that. So he's why we're doing this, because we want to share the goodness of God to other people, and we know that help is available, and the name of the program is Help Alive. And so also, I know you took in your aunt also. Your aunt was a senior, and she had some, you know, situations that were, she had a little bit of troubles, and that was also a gigantic amount of help. You took her in from New York, and you took her in into where you are now. And so there's been helping all along, 18 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I think you have the gift of helps. But even if we don't have that gift, there are other gifts. And quickly, I'm just going to run through the 18 gifts once again. There are helps, encouragement, giving, mercy, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. So some of the other things we were going to get into, why would you recommend helping people? What's your thoughts behind what an excellent idea it is to reach out and help others?
Well, I think that's what God is all about and what Jesus did when he was on earth. God has always made the first move to help us human beings. And when Jesus was on this earth, that's what he mainly did. He helped people. He showed his compassion when he fed the 5,000, and he helped people. He healed them. He delivered them from demonic spirits, and he ultimately showed the greatest love when he died on the cross for all mankind. So God is always us, and he would like he wants his servants to definitely help others and to be our brother's keeper.
So that I agree. And there's a scripture in Philippians. Each of you should not only look to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. So that's what you're saying. You know, God did look out for all of our interests, and we want to model him and look out for the interests of others. And also in Proverbs, this is a wonderful scripture, and it says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." So when you're providing also for someone, it's also coming back to you at the same time. And I think there's a Chinese proverb or something that says, a bit of fragrance always clings to the hands of the person that gave the roses. I did remember that. So,
amen.
Well, Dimitri, we have so much to talk about today, and we have a lot of time. We're going to ask if we have listeners, perhaps they'd like to call in. The call-in number is 657-383-1028. So hopefully we can get callers and people can share their ideas, their comments, their victories, all sorts of things. If you just would like to call in and say hi, that would be great too. So Jesus set an example for us to help. He helped when he was here hugely, and we need to do the same. So, and also, when we receive help, we're also giving someone a chance to be blessed, because when that person gives to us, they're going to be blessed by God. So that's another good thought. So do you have any other thoughts on, where it, what's also true is you reap what you sow. Do you have any other thoughts on any of these comments?
And Paul the Apostle says to bear one another's burdens and be hospitable to the saints. And most Christian charities extend themselves throughout the world whenever there's a disaster, tsunami, hurricane, earthquake. Christian church gets involved, the Salvation Army, Red Cross, all these different organizations that were founded on Christianity. So that makes a great difference, and it makes a big impact on the people that we're helping, is even people that are not of the same faith. It shows that the Christians have love and they care, and they're mainly doing what the Bible says to do. They're being doers of the word and not just hearers, and they're showing love in action.
that's true. That is a good testimony in times of disaster that Christians, I remember you told me one time that Pat Robertson's ministry was the first to reach the Katrina victims. There was some disaster, I believe it was Katrina, and Pat Robertson, I forget the name of his ministry, Operation Blessing, they were the first people to be on the scene, and that was such a great testimony. So I think you told me that years ago, yeah. And also what you just said about hospitality, in Romans it says, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And that's Romans 12:13. So you had mentioned hospitality, and it is in the Bible that we're supposed to do that as well. And then in Galatians, sure. This is also in line with what you were saying, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And and also one of the most popular, a popular portion of Scripture is when Jesus said that, when you were sick and in prison and you visited me, I have that right here. So quickly I'll read that. And this also shows, it gives an example of helping. And it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. In need of clothing and you clothed me. Was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatsoever you did unto the least of these brothers of mine, you did unto me. And that's a popular portion of Scripture.
Yes. And if I may add that the first church in Jerusalem, they all shared with each other. They all shared their resources. They helped one another. They loved one another. They prayed with one another. And they're an example of what the Christian church should do, not only with each other, but to show that to the unsaved, for the whole goal of just showing the love of Christ and letting people see that in action.
Yeah, setting a good example. So I agree. And so we also have a couple of verses in James, which talks about faith without works is dead. And this is another popular portion of Scripture. And it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we have to certainly be diligent and do what God wants us to do. And there can be a sin of omission, which is where you are supposed to do something that God wants you to do and you don't do it. And that's also a sin. So there's the sins of commission that you actually do and the sins of omission that you should have done but you didn't do. So, but we're going to...
And the Lord...
go ahead. Yeah.
It, the Lord Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. And he said to freely give, and it doesn't just mean our money. It means everything, our time, ourselves. And it just touches people in such a great way, especially people that the most, the people that are lonely. And it just has a great impact on them. And we're supposed to be the hands of Jesus and have the heart of Jesus when we, and it'll have a greater impact on them. As the old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. We could speak from the Bible and speak great words from Christendom, and it won't mean anything if we don't back it up with love, just like Apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I could speak in tongues and prophesy, but if I don't have love, I'm a clanging cymbal. So love and helping go hand in hand.
Yes, I agree. And we covered the scriptures I had concerning helping, and we were also going to get into perhaps a little bit of why God would allow suffering, and or why he may allow suffering. We'll start with Zephaniah. Actually, it's Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 12. It says, this very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. And that's God speaking. And so there is that multiple that happens when we have a subtraction. When we get paid back through no fault of our own, we get double, triple, quadruple. And also, when something happens that is due to our own fault, God brings good out of it. So say, like Chuck Colson. And I think you've heard of Chuck Colson, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's got that incredible prison ministry. But that came out of him going to jail for something he was guilty of. And still, God used it for such a wonderful platform. And I don't know if it's the largest prison ministry in the world, but it's outstanding. And he's gone on to be with the Lord, but so much fruit came out of, even a sin. God brought so much good out of it, and he'll do that for us. He'll bring good out of the even our sin nature if we submit to him and turn away from our sin nature.
I agree. God uses, like it says in Romans 28, all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. Even when we sin, God will turn that around for good. Not that we should sin, like Paul said, shall I sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. But God will bring about a hatred for sin, an enmity towards sin, an abhorrence of sin, where we'll get sick and tired of sinning, and God will continue to sanctify us. And as far as suffering goes, God, I've recently gone through a horrible time of suffering. And I've just come out of it the last month, and I just heard something great on the radio yesterday that Christians are either going into the refiner's fire, they're in the midst of the refiner's fire, or they're coming out of the refiner's fire. So God uses suffering for many reasons. One of them is to refine his children, but also, like you read earlier in Corinthians, to as he brings comfort to us during our trials, that we could bring comfort to others. And also, that God shows how great a deliverer he is, and that it says in the Psalms that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So there's many, many manifold things that God uses suffering for. And yes, he does. He will. We're not always promised blessings here on earth, but God will. He never wastes anything, so he will use the suffering. And also, he carries us through, like similar to what it says in Footprints, that during the hardest times, the person only saw one set of footprints, and that's when Jesus said, during the hardest times of your life, that's when I was carrying you. So God will definitely be in the midst of the suffering with us and help us to endure it. And it also, suffering also draws us closer to God. When things are very going well for us and we're prospering in many different ways, we human beings have a tendency not to call out to God. But whenever there's pain or affliction or suffering, we cry out to him more, and we pray to him more, and we read the word more, and we draw closer to him more for help. And we also fight the devil more, and he fights for us. When we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us.
Yes, that's true. We take one step close to God, he takes 10 steps close to us. But also, I've thought of it, I've heard people say it's like a tapestry where everything on the underneath side of the tapestry is the hurts, the sadnesses, the sin. And then when you turn it over and have the beautiful pattern, that's what God's doing with the tapestry. He's making it into something very beautiful, even though underneath it's kind of, it has, you can't even see the pattern on the underneath. But so we have a lot to talk about still. We're going to talk about Streams in the Desert, which I recommend. And there's a little reading in Streams in the Desert. I don't know, Dimitri, if you've come across it, but I have told a lot of people about it, and it has to do with suffering. And it says, okay, a bar of steel worth $5, when made into horseshoes, is worth $10. If made into needles, it is worth $350. If into penknife blades, it is worth $32,000. If into springs for watches, it is worth $250,000. If into springs for watches, it is worth $250,000. What a drilling the poor bar must undergo to be worth this. But the more it is manipulated, the more it is hammered and passed through the fire and beaten and pounded and polished the greater the value. Somebody doesn't want us to, the devil doesn't want this to be heard. So may this parable help us to be silent, still, and long-suffering. Those who suffer most are capable of yielding most. And it is through pain that God is getting the most out of us for his glory and the blessing of others.
Amen.
So that's in Streams in the Desert, and I recommend the book. It's by Mrs. Charles E. Kalman. And some of the other things, we're going to be compensated in heaven for our tears. In the book of Psalms, it says that God collects our tears in a bottle. And God sends helpers, too, and can be an angel at times. there's a lot of provision for us in our times of suffering. And then also some of the ways I think you get paid back for suffering, in my opinion, you get recompensed if it's through no fault of your own that you're suffering, is, again, the 18 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that's one of the ways we can get paid back for this difficulty, the suffering that's through no fault of our own. And we have Paul's thorn in the flesh that's mentioned in the Bible, that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, and that's a popular portion of Scripture. I read that last episode. And also another thing that's important to know, that if we couldn't handle it, God wouldn't allow it. The devil is limited. Before he comes after us with his demons, he can only go as far as God allows him to go. Because of spiritual warfare, God allows the devil to come after us. But he's limited. He can only go as far as God allows him to go. So that's a good thing to know, because sometimes you think the devil can do whatever he wants, but he can't. He's under God's sovereignty. And obviously in heaven, there's not going to be any spiritual warfare. But down here, we are temporarily dealing with spiritual warfare. So.
Amen. God ultimately is the one in control of everything. Just like in the book of Job, Satan had to actually ask God to attack Job, and God allowed him. And the first time God told him, but you can't take his life. And the second time God gave Satan allowance to attack Job again. And the first time he says you can't touch his body, but the second time God said you could touch his body, but you can't take his life. So God ultimately is in control. He's on the throne. Satan is allowed by God to attack the Christians, and many times God does the testing himself. And the Lord ultimately has the victory, and suffering is very painful, scary. Many times you feel like God isn't even there, and Satan is buffeting you tremendously. However, God, the main thing about going through suffering is to stay close to God in prayer and communion. The closer you are to him, the more he's going to protect you. And if you keep praying, in my situation, I had to continuously persevere in prayer and not give up until the deliverance came. And then finally, the deliverance did come, and God won the victory. And God can also do the impossible. He says in the Word, with men this is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So I would tell every Christian out there that suffering, just stay as close to God as you can, even in the most fearful times, and just continuously cry out to him. Because as E.M. Bounds says, the great writer on prayer, that God answers a person who cries to him versus a person who doesn't cry out to God will not get an answer. So that's my one of my beliefs about suffering, is that we have to just stay close to God, hold on to him, and keep praying, and God will answer us speedily.
Yeah, the timing is perfect. That's a perfect way to end the show. We have 10 seconds left, and thank you so much. This was so wonderful, and if possible, if the Lord opens the door, we could do it again next week. And may our audience be blessed, and may God's will be done. And thank you, Dimitri. Okay.
Sure. Susan, I want to thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
Okay. Good night. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.